AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
That took longer. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm here. I'm Angelo, and I'm here with Alex. Alex, how are you doing today, buddy?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, pretty good week overall. Work stuff kind of derailed me from watching Thursday Night Football, but I had to watch like the game in 40 very quick before going to work. But yeah, other than that, week was pretty good. I managed to watch basically every single game, which I haven't been able to for like the past 2 weeks. Because I've been, last 2 weeks I've been away at least like the first half, if not mistaken. This week I managed to like be proper set up when the games were starting. So I managed to watch every single bit of football that happened on Sunday. Except for the second half of the Sunday night game that I watched like on replay the morning after.
I'm kind of sad the Bengals didn't play. I didn't get to see the Bengals this week, but the Browns, you know, gave me, I guess, a form of entertainment that I'm sure I'll discuss because I'm honestly pretty disgusted with the game I watched as far as the Browns versus Colts go. So did you have a game like that? No, there's definitely a game you had like that where you're like, what am I watching right now?
There's a few games like that, I believe. Like, for example, the Seahawks game, that was pretty, I guess, interesting. That we like Geno basically turns into a pumpkin whenever like the opposing team just throws some pressure on us. So that's always fun.
DK Metcalf went down. What did he go down with?
He went on like the game prior, so I believe it was a game time decision until like I believe it was
I thought he got hurt during the game.
No, it was prior. I believe he hurt. He has been suffering from a rib injury for quite a while now, and I believe he picked up a hip injury last game. So this week he was sort of questionable for most of the week. Didn't practice a lot, which I didn't really give much consideration to because he hasn't been practicing like the full week since he has been picking up that rib injury. But yeah, I mean, news came out like an hour prior to the game starting that he would be out with the hip and rib injury. So yeah, we managed to see some more Jackson Smith and Jigba. And of course, the great catch by Jake Bobo.
I saw that. That was a ridiculous, like, it was like basically a floater in the back of the end zone and he caught it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was nuts. Like, I was pretty sure that was out. But yeah, after watching the replay countless times, yeah, it was in. That was a crazy game. But yeah, I mean, the offense is still looking kind of shaky. The defense played okay. I think they played okay versus the Bengals as well. Okay to good. Witherspoon is really making a lot of plays. He should be the betting favorite for Rookie of the Year.
No, that wouldn't surprise me. What did you think of Jackson Smith and Jigba now that he had only Tyler Lockett ahead of him?
I played well. I mean, it's the thing. Like, he has been playing okay too well. He just doesn't have the targets. So when he has the targets, things, like, get better. I just don't expect it to continue because I think when DK is back, which should be this week, because it was basically a game time decision for last night's game. So if it was a game time decision, then I kind of believe he will be active next week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after that, I mean, I think he will lose some of the opportunity that he got this game. I believe he was targeted, yeah, 7 times, which was the most of any player on the team.
And he played fine. I mean, he's getting open, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the touchdown play was pretty good by him. But yeah, I just don't expect the opportunity to continue when DK is back, to be honest.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying it's a good. You obviously want production at some kind as a rookie. You don't expect him to like melt faces, but like when your rookie wide receiver that you selected in the first round looks like your best wide receiver out there when DK goes out, that's a good sign.
Yeah,
That's a good sign.
it basically shows you that he can produce when you need him to.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that I do have to mention, like, I have been pretty against Charbonnet as a pick and so on. I
Necro.
missed him this game. Yeah. I missed him this game purely because it keeps Kenneth Walker fresher. So he's more explosive when Charbonnet is around because he can take some of those carries, like in the middle of the field to pick up short yardage. Those aren't necessarily super important for Walker, but it keeps him fresher for those big explosive plays. He did have one or two, if not mistaken. I think he had a long of 25 yards. But yeah, when Charbonnet is around, Walker is more explosive because he's fresher. He doesn't need to grind those short yardages stuff. He doesn't
Are
need to
you
be
saying
involved in that thing.
you're on board with Charbonnet?
As a change of pace back, yeah, he's serviceable. I just don't think, like, my take was always that Walker would be the main guy always because Walker is an extremely talented and explosive running back in the NFL. Charbonnet is a good change of pace back that can grind you those tougher yardage, but I sort of missed them as a fan of the team. I missed them in the short yardage situation because that's just like you're not properly using the talent that Walker has when you're deploying him in that situation. He still had a pretty good game. It's just like I know he can do much more when there's a guy that does the nasty stuff,
The grunt
basically.
work. The grunt
Yeah.
work. That
But yeah,
makes sense.
like, yeah.
Like, I know, especially because we've gone into this fantasy, like, centric view on the NFL that people want to see, like, one bell cow running back, and they hate running back by committee. But the reason p teams deploy running back by committee is to keep the starter who is going to get a vast majority of touches and a lot of wear and tear on his body, pressure. You don't want that guy just going out there, run, 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 and then he's done by 25.
I agree with that. And yeah, they have been like the way they have been deploying Charbonnet so far, it has just been to like alleviate some of the work out of Walker. Like Charbonnet hasn't been like great for fantasy football or anything, but it helps make Kenneth Walker better basically. And that's why I like it.
That's fair. So,
Give me your thoughts on the game that you watched the most, the Browns game, because I heard
oh
some
God.
controversy in
Oh
that
my
game by the
God.
end, like the last two or three drives. Like I've seen some
I couldn't
Colts fan
watch it. I
pretty
couldn't watch
irated.
I couldn't watch. Bro, it was so hard. Okay, what if I told you the Cleveland Browns scored 39 points and didn't score a passing touchdown?
Nuts.
Like, it was so bad. Like, Myles Garrett is him. He is the best, like, pass rusher or one of the best pass rushers. If you want to give it to Donald, if you want to give it to TJ Watt, great. Myles Garrett is a problem, no matter what, where you put him. So, like, and he just harassed Gardner Minshew. But the thing is, when he didn't harass Gardner Minshew, Gardner Minshew owned the Browns defense, dude. Like, I watched Gardner Minshew do like a read option and then just run for 20 yards
Oh, I saw
for a
that as well, yeah.
touchdown. And I was just like, oh, okay, so I guess Gardner Minshew just owns the Cleveland Browns defense, best defense in the league. Okay. That's why I said it kind of jokingly that Gardner Minshew was the best quarterback in Indianapolis, but he really looked like it because he was just gashing the Browns defense over and over. And the Browns offense, I honestly don't know how they got to 39 points. I don't remember. I know there was a defensive score. I know there was a pick. I know there was three forced fumbles. Two of them were lost. Like the Browns defense got the Browns to 39 points. That's how I view it.
Yeah, like the running back scored like three touchdowns, I believe. if I'm
Yes.
mistaken. So.
Jerome Ford scored that huge 70-yarder to start the game, and then Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt had two short, like, goal line touchdowns,
Yeah,
most
one
downs.
was the Wildcat play,
Yeah,
wasn't
the Wildcat I told you about. Yeah. Yeah. We
it?
went back to the Wayback Machine, did a Wildcat in the fucking goal line, and there you go. I
Then,
was like, man.
like, I think there was a was it a strip sack in the end zone that got basically like a defender fall on it, and it was a Browns touchdown. I think I
Yeah.
saw that replay
Yep.
on
That
Red
was
Zone.
the touchdown. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, like PJ Walker, I think it was 15 completions or something like that for 178 yards and a
Deshaun
pick.
finished the game with 5 yards, by the
Yeah.
way.
Yeah. And like the press conference afterwards, I think Stefanski basically said that they were just holding up their starting QB or their like franchise QB. I don't know. Seems like another injury to torment him. And the
He
pick was
didn't
pretty
return.
bad. You did mention it as well.
So it should have been two picks,
Yeah.
actually. Like, no, not it should have been. Kenny Moore obviously dropped the ball, or it was on the ground. But they were both the same kind of plays. Deshaun misses his first read, rolls out, chucks it up into double coverage, and it's picked. Like that was his one pick, and that was his second throw that should have been a pick. It was both situations like that. Like, Deshaun doesn't look like Houston Deshaun. I don't know what's going on with Deshaun, but I will say the Browns offense usually does look better with Deshaun than without him. Deshaun does isn't worth the money they pay him. I'm sorry. He's not.
That is
He's
true.
not a $230 million quarterback. I'm sorry.
Unlike the
If that's
picks
a
they
hot take,
traded
that's a
for
hot take.
him.
Yeah.
That's a nasty situation. And they can't really get out of the deal anytime soon, so.
I mean, what do you do if you're the Browns?
I guess you like trot out a QB and you put like, I don't know. You put your running backs running the ball, and you put Myles Garrett jumping like the line to block kicks, like he's goddamn Superman or something. I guess that's what you do, and that's how you win
Myles Garrett
games.
is ridiculous.
Like
Myles Garrett is ridiculous.
completely absurd. I don't think I've ever seen like a play like that. I think it's the first time that it happened, actually, wasn't it? Or so like something. I know that it wasn't the first time that a field goal was blocked with a guy jumping over the line, because I think it was. A Seahawks
Steelers did it.
player and the C a Seahawks player also did it, I think. I'm not sure if it was Cam Chancellor or something, but I think I remember something like that, unless it was overturned by a flag, because I do know that we did that once and was overturned, but I also think we did it once and it stood. But something in that play never happened before. I'm just not quite sure what it was, but I saw that stat somewhere, like that
It doesn't matter.
mention.
Myles Garrett is ridiculous, and he's a problem. The Browns' offense, definitely not a problem. But, like, Gardner Minshew looked good, dude. I'm sorry. But when Myles Garrett wasn't harassing Minshew and he had time, he gashed us. He absolutely gashed us, dude.
Yeah,
Like,
I mean,
and I'm saying us, I'm a Bengals fan, not a Browns fan, but Bengals were on a bye.
so you're an honorary Browns fan.
Browns fan for this week, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he
For a
played
while.
well, but he did have like his wide receiver one. The takeover is happening.
Obnoxious.
It's just like, I mean, what do you do? Like, you can't stop
That
the
was an
man as Josh
amazing
Downs.
throw by that was an amazing throw by Minshew too, by the way. You have to admit that. He got it just over the cover two safety or corner
It
and
did
got
seem
down.
like the safety wasn't expecting that, because the safety seemed to have messed up that play.
Yeah, he just sat.
Yeah.
He sat there. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't expect Josh Downs to go deeper. Maybe it didn't respect the speed or something, I don't know. But it seemed off there.
Yeah, something was definitely off. But yeah, he was gone after he caught that ball.
But it's like it's a weird game, because like it shouldn't have been 39-38, because when you look at
No.
it,
No.
it's like, okay, so one touchdown was the strip sack that ended up being a touchdown, Another touchdown was the breakaway run by Pittman. It was
Seven-yard
a
run.
complete like blown coverage. Another blown coverage into Josh Downs touchdown. And there was like the whole last drive was also pretty insane. I think there were some penalties in there that were really like out of thin air, basically. So you basically
There's
have
a lot of
like
that in that
what?
game, though. Go on.
Yeah, like the Colts fans were pretty mad at that one.
I would be
Yeah, I
mad if
mean,
I was a Colts fan, too.
yeah, I think there were like what? I would count at least like four touchdowns scored that it was basically like fluke plays or busted coverages or just like defensive scorings, stuff like that. So that's 28 points out of a what? This was a 77-point game. Like,
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Jeez. I think the over under on this one was like 40 something. So it was like an average over under, and it's like the highest scoring game of the week.
Yeah.
Insane stuff.
It, I, yeah.
And we
So,
had the Browns minus two.
yeah, and it was a
They
one.
won by one. Ah.
It shouldn't have been two. It shouldn't. Like, they should have won by more. It was just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it was Minshew gash to the Browns. A week after beating the San Francisco 49ers, the Browns had to scratch and claw and do whatever they could to beat the Colts, led by Gardner Minshew. Like, okay. That's so Browns. So, Alex, this is what I'm waiting for. Alex, you've been calling for Aiden O'Connell to get the start. Josh McDaniels has a response to you. He says it's not preseason anymore. He's trying to win football games. That's why Brian Hoyer's out there. What do you got to say to him as an Aiden O'Connell fan?
Yeah, that looked like the Brian Hoyer that I know from that playoff game that he had with the Texans. It sure looked like it wasn't preseason for him. Remember that one versus, I think it was KC, the four interception game? Ah, that's prime Brian Hoyer. That's the guy that gives you the chance to win. Not the young guy that no one has tape on that maybe can succeed at a rough, like, first game, but at least you were in the game at the end. But no, yeah, just like, sure, Josh, sure, just give me Brian Hoyer because I haven't seen, like, Brian Hoyer play and be, like, miserable for big amount of time. You should just do like the opposite team did, like just put out there a rookie that is actually quite decent. But no, Josh, I'm sorry. Yeah, just I'm sure that Brian Hoyer gave you the best chance to win there. He looked great. I mean, versus that Bears defense that ranked like dead last in a bunch of categories that I won't even name because there's just so many. Brian Hoyer, like, great game, 129 passing yards, two picks, got sacked once, 37 QB rating. That's the guy that gave you the best chance to win. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
I'm
Some
so
of these coaches
conflicted.
are just like,
So,
ah.
like, before this season started, I said the Raiders looked like a dumpster fire. And honestly, the Raiders are the most frustrating teams because some weeks they do look like the dumpster fire I said they were, like this week. But some weeks they don't. And it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, this was a nasty game. I mean, I've spoke my piece on the QB situation in the Vegas like scenario there that Josh was mentioning. But can we get a round of applause for my guy? I mean, I just gotta do it. Tyson Bagent, ladies and gentlemen. No, no, no.
God.
So listen to this. Listen to this. So people will look at him and say, like, oh, he just had like 162 passing yards. He had a touchdown. That's nothing. So let me tell you what, public opinion. Here's the stat for you. You know how many times Justin Fields threw for over 160 times on the full year last season? 6 times. You know how many games he played in the last 2 years in which he hasn't thrown a pick? 7. In 2 years, he hasn't thrown a pick in 7 games. Yeah, fellas. Let me tell you what. You know how many times, like, Justin, you remember, like, that old, oh my God, the Bears offensive line is terrible. Like, you can't just blame Justin Fields. You know how many sacks Tyson Bagent got? 1. With that same terrible low line. So let me tell you what, Tyson Bagent, I'm not saying he's the future, but he should be your starter the full season, the full rest of the year, Chicago. You have your starter.
This guy, he's just propagating Fields hate at this point.
No, I mean, I watched that game. Like, I think Justin Fields wish he had the reading,
wish?
Like the progression skills that Tyson Bagent has, to be honest.
Wished he had the progression skills that Tyson Bagent had.
Yeah, Tyson Bagent read the field pretty well. I mean, he, like, people criticize the offensive coordinator for the game plan and that it's like it's not good and that's why Fields is struggling. I mean, he ran the same game plan with Bagent, but Bagent, like, doesn't take 7 seconds to make like a simple decision to just throw a screen. So yeah, it works with Bagent. It's
Man,
it's crazy, like, what you can do with a competent, like, it's not even good. It's just like he's competent and they scored 30. Would you look at that? And for the folks who like miss the whole thing around him, is that did you see that? What his dad was, basically?
No, I didn't. I missed
No,
that.
You didn't? Okay, so, of course, like, it's an undrafted QB. The network has to make some, like, random piece about the dude. But they apparently struck gold because not only is this guy, like, I think it's the leading touchdown passer. Like, how do you say this? It's basically, like, the guy with the most career passing touchdowns in the whole college football history. Because I believe he has like 159 passing touchdown in his career. So not only is he all that, he also had, I believe it was 9,000 passing yards in the last 2 seasons of his college career. But his dad is also, I believe it's a 17-time arm wrestling world champion.
17 times?
Like,
okay.
Some of these guys are. And yeah, if there's one knock on him, is that its arm is like a noodle. So, like, you probably should go train with his dad, I guess. But yeah, I mean, he was making decisive throws. He wasn't doing anything flashy, but he was just, outside of a few, like, third down conversions, he was just making the right play and he was reading the field properly. Unlike Fields, and he was going through his progressions and making decisions quick. So yeah, I mean, that's more than I can say for Justin Fields. But yeah, Fields runs fast and has a big arm, so let him take like 7 seconds to read like a slant. There you go, your new starting QB, Chicago.
You happy now?
I am pretty happy. It's good. So, it's good. Like, to feel vindicated.
To feel vindicated. For the record, who did we have in that game? Because I do not remember.
Oh, you had Chicago. I had Las Vegas.
So you took a victory lap on a team. You didn't even. Okay.
I was expecting Aiden O'Connell. That's why.
He was expecting Aiden O'Connell. And Josh McDaniels told you. No Aiden O'Connell today.
I guess we, like, there's 2 main games in like the afternoon or the morning slate that we should really talk about.
Go for
but,
it.
I mean, like, were the Lions just pretenders this whole time?
I don't think so. I think they just got caught on a bad week. Like that, I've seen that happen. But I don't know. Maybe the I don't even know what I was gonna say. Maybe the Ravens finally got everything together because the Ravens haven't been looking the greatest, but this game they look like Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some plays there by Lamar that
Zay
were
Flowers looked great.
Yeah. Lamar was making plays as well. He was looking good. Like one of the touchdowns to Mark Andrews, really, and the commentators mentioned that as well. That one of the touchdowns, I believe it was the first or the second one to Mark Andrews. He really showed some growth there because the way that he operated that play, if it was early career Lamar Jackson, he would have just taken off and like do something with the ball with his legs. But no, he just hung in the pocket, looked for Andrews, threw it out, touchdown. I mean, he's showing improvement. He's showing like what I expected from the Ravens to start the season. And yeah, I mean, if this is what we will get going forward, I'm pretty confident about the Baltimore Ravens being what I expected them to be.
Crazy is it that the AFC North is like as stacked as it is. Like, I know we talk about the AFC West because it has the Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. But like the Bengals, Browns, and even the Steelers, and of course the Ravens all look amazing this year.
They really do. I agree. I mean, there's not really much to say here. I think this was a complete destruction, and the Lions were kind of like overwhelmed. There were plenty of stats about like Josh Goff. Now I can't remember his name. Jared Goff. Efficiency being like pretty bad outside of Detroit when they were playing away. It didn't really show the week prior that they were away. But yeah, I mean, it turned this ugly head this week around and they got destroyed. I mean, by the half, it was, what, 21 or 28 to nothing? So, and like, I think the offensive stats were pretty bad for them. Like, don't let 284 yards distract from Jared Goff distract you from the fact that he, like, did nothing for the first half. Like, this is probably all second half because they just decided to just throw for the rest of the game. Jahmyr Gibbs was back.
But do you think this is why Sean McVay and the Rams made the decision they did to move off Goff? Because the Ravens, serious playoff contender. Great. It was a game that they could have made a huge statement to the world. And granted, you can say they've already made that statement by beating the Kansas City Chiefs. But if this game would have solidified them in the top three as far as teams you consider for a Super Bowl, and they completely gapped it, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with that sentiment.
So do you think that Jared Goff is the future of the Lions, or do you think that, similar to the Rams, they're going to get in a spot where the roster is where the roster is going to be, and it's up to Jared Goff to win football games, and he's not going to do that, and they're going to make a trade for someone that they think could?
I mean, so far we haven't really like heard anything that points us towards that direction. Like, the coaching staff has been pretty adamant that Goff is their guy.
Yep.
Maybe this was just a one-off game and we really shouldn't be talking about all of this. But, I mean, if he has more games like this, that, like, especially if it's in the playoffs, if this team really goes to the playoffs and makes a deep run, but then in the end it just blunders it, I mean, wouldn't be shocked if they at least knocked on some doors. Like Kyler Murray, for example. It could knock on that door.
That could be very interesting because it seems like the Cardinals want to tank for Caleb. So, I mean, is there a better way to tank than to trade Kyler away?
I mean, they wouldn't be able to trade him this year, I believe. So it would always be like a play for him next year.
Sure.
Because of the cap situation, it really wouldn't work
Oh
out that
yeah,
well.
that's true.
Yeah, they would take a massive cap hit there. But I don't know, man. Would they like? What other veteran QB might there be in the market?
Depend. That's a good question.
Yeah, that's like I'm looking at these teams and like there's not really anyone outside
I
of
would.
like maybe Cousins, but Cousins doesn't seem like the type of guy who would make that switch.
Because yeah, it would have to be a aging good quarterback on a bad team,
It would
and
be
you're.
a Stafford situation.
Yes. So, and I think you're right in the sense that Cousins is probably the most likely candidate to get moved.
Yeah.
Because
Like,
I'm struggling to think of.
you could mention your guy, but he kind of doesn't look good anymore. Derek Carr, but he kind
Derek
of looks like Andy Dalton,
already got
so.
moved. He already got moved.
Yeah.
He already got moved and signed. So,
I mean, they could
regardless,
just get Andy Dalton off the streets, I guess, if they're really aiming for
stop it.
that
Stop it.
guy. Yeah.
So, we're done being happy. What happened to the Dolphins?
Oh, no, there's a game I want to talk before that one.
Okay.
Because it was a morning game, and it's a game that should shut up some folks that have been dissing my guy, Mac Jones. What do you make of that late comeback by the end there? Like, give him a ball late, and Mac Jones dominates 272 passing yards. Outduels Josh Allen, has two touchdowns, the same as Josh Allen, has no picks, 126 QB rating versus Josh Allen's 90. Mac Jones, a better QB than Josh Allen?
Josh Allen, once again, I said it once, I'll say it again, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Josh Allen can put up video game type numbers, and he has this season, but he will always have that turnover that loses you a close game or an in a gaff or an inopportune like and it happened. You said at the start of the game, what happened? That you said that was one of the worst picks you've ever seen, right?
Yeah,
Correct?
that was a terrible pick.
So, no, like the Bills, I said the Bills had the best roster on paper to enter the season. They're not playing like it. So, no, it's just awful. It's just, I don't know how you can look at this Bills team and be like, yeah, they can beat Kansas City. I don't know how you can say it. I don't know.
Yeah, like I have bumped them down massively this week. Oh, that's the team that. Okay. I know. I think I know. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave that for later. But yeah, I've bumped them down massively because like they have made this New England offense look serviceable.
Oh, how?
I mean.
They didn't score any points for like 3 straight weeks, Alex.
Yeah, I mean it's a miracle what you can do when like the QB has more than like I don't know 2 seconds to pass the ball, so it's massively like Mac Jones, like for all of the naysayers that were turning heavily on Mac Jones, like how does that feel? Like sit there like. The dude had the ball to end the game, and he went ding, 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 ding. Massive play, massive throw to Hunter Henry, like an absolute dot to him. And then another massive throw to the greedy king, Gesicki, for the touchdown. I mean, dude just balled out. Mac
Here's what I'm
Jones is
thinking. I'm
back.
a Bills fan right now.
Oh, you should.
That's what I feel if I'm a Bills fan right now.
And
I
don't let this New
don't.
England team get hot. Don't.
No,
Because,
but then they'll stop it.
oh, yeah.
Stop
This is
it.
NBA Jam rules now.
Stop it.
They are getting hot. They can't be contained.
They're still in a division with the Miami Dolphins.
They are. So, they are still 2-5.
and they're still 2. Pump the brakes, buddy. Pump the brakes.
They are.
What streak are you saying they're going to go undefeated the rest of the season? Because that's pretty much what they would have to do to be like a top 2 seed.
They might.
Stop it.
You don't know.
Stop it.
The scenes, if they do. Like, I obviously don't expect it. But the scenes, if they do.
Stop this.
Like, from the I guess we have just basically just dunked on the Bills for enough time. I don't really have much to say on the Giants-Commanders game outside of one single...
I don't want to watch it. In fact, you know, no, move on. Next.
I just want to say this one stat, and that's all I'm going to say about this game.
Okay.
Sam Howell, this is a tweet by Jake Seeley. So Sam Howell was sacked 6 times today. That's and he has been sacked 40 times this season. Or as many as Desmond Ridder and Russell Wilson combined. He was sacked 4 plus times in every single game. And Mahomes has been sacked 7 times all year. Sam Howell is on pace for 97 sacks on the year. That's all
you
I
know,
have to say. Just
you know,
help my
you know,
dude.
You
like,
know what that sounds like?
Oh, I know what you're going to do.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
That sounded like first year Joe Burrow, I'm just saying.
Oh, that to me sounded like he will be doing this the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, poor guy.
He needs some help.
That guy's going to get ruined like they ruined Zach Wilson. Let's go.
Okay. Before Monday Night Football, there's like one of the biggest games of the week that happened. But the Chiefs just completely pummeled the Chargers. Like,
I don't even know what they were doing, honestly. I watched the game and I was looking at it. I was like, what are you guys doing right now?
Is like Herbert's hand more of a thing that we are making it to be?
Maybe. It's not even that. Like, Travis Kelce had like 100 yards and a touchdown before halftime, Alex.
Yeah, I'll save this for the fantasy show, but I was playing against him in a league that I must win. So that was nerve-wracking. Like, someone needs to get Taylor Swift out of those games because the
dude
goes nuts.
Focused up when she's in the booth, man. Like,
yeah, he looks up, she's there, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. Dude is ready to jump through a wall. Run through a wall.
Did you see the touchdown?
Oh, I'd say, like...
Where it was, it was just like a flea flick, and he, like, bobbled it. It was low. So he, like, bobbled it, put it up, and everyone was, like, swiping at it, and he still held on to the ball.
Yeah, nothing going on there.
How?
It was almost the best catch of a tight end on the week. Almost. That goes to Kyle Pitts.
This guy and his Kyle Pitts love.
Oh, no, that catch was sick. Just catches it backhanded, touches it up versus his back or something, then the defender goes and grabs it, and he just swings it to the left arm and continues to run. That was a slick move.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Chargers more. The Chargers are disgraceful.
Yeah.
Like,
are we just giving way too many? Because, like, just now I just gave him another excuse. Are we at the point that we are just giving him way too many excuses?
Yeah. Are we babying the Chargers? Oh, little Chargers can't beat the big bad Chiefs.
And it's not even just like the Chargers alone. Is it just because we will criticize, like, for example, Staley? I've seen like a lot of folks like asking for his head now. But like, are we just giving way too many passes to Herbert?
Maybe.
Like, Herbert right now is at top what?
The defense! The defense allowed 300 yards in the first half, Austin! Or Austin, Alex!
Yeah,
300 passing yards!
But who was picked twice?
I'm sure that did help, but
yeah, I mean, oh, there we go again. It's another excuse. Now it's the defense. I know the defense isn't great, but I mean, like,
they have Derwin James, Khalil Mack, and Joey Bosa. There's no reason that defense should have performed that badly.
And that's probably coaching, but I mean, on the offense, they didn't produce like anything significantly.
They mashed him in the first half.
Yeah, and then it went kaboom.
Yeah, then it went kaboom. Yeah.
Yeah. So
pretty rough. The second half was pretty rough. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like I think we're just starting to give him way too many excuses. Was just like was Emmanuel, what's his name? The linebacker Emmanuel Acho, is that his name?
Yes.
Are we? Was he right all along? Is he just? Is Herbert just a social media QB?
I don't know. So here's the thing. It's kind of hard to like. So, okay, I'm going to equate it to this. You see a car crash in a burning building. Which one are you going to look at?
Huh.
You're going to look at the burning building because the burning building is.
Depends on the car crash.
I guess that's true. But that's what I'm saying. It's kind of hard to like look at Herbert when like there's an even bigger like mess going on.
There we go again. It's another excuse.
But it's true. Like how can you say Herbert and then we gave up 300 passing yards in the first half? I don't know. Listen, Herbert might not be it, but the defense is definitely not it. I know that.
Yeah.
I know like, that for sure.
I agree with that point. It's just like sometimes we don't hear the first part. We just hear the second one. And it's daily. It's like, do you know like those kids' excuses, which are like, yeah, I did it, but... And that's basically what we're doing here. It's always like, yeah, it's Herbert's fault. But did you see the defense? Did you see like the dropped pass there? Did you see like... the messed up route the wide receiver ran. Did you see? It's always something. It's never just. It was Herbert. Point. Like, nothing else. It's just Herbert. No, it's also something else. I don't know. Like, I guess we can use this as a segue to the last game we'll talk about. But is, like, if you were to start a franchise, would it be Herbert? Or would it be Tua as your starting QB?
I remember when this debate was Herbert or Burrow.
Yeah. And Tua was like a bust. He doesn't have an arm. He doesn't make the big throws. He's a concussion king. But I don't know. You know what he does? He wins games.
Except against the Eagles, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah. Other than that, I mean, I know the schedule has been like cakewalk when you talk about the teams that they beat, but I mean they're 5-2 still. What record are the Chargers? Isn't it like 3-5 now or 3-4, something like that?
Yeah,
2-4. No, yeah, 2-4. I don't know.
I think I would go Herbert still, but
I think I would go with the guy who wins games.
Confident in that assessment.
Because you see, just now you said when I said you know what Tua does, he wins games. You said not versus the Eagles, but you didn't say that the defense was terrible. It was Tua's fault. You see, that's what I meant. That's what I'm saying. Like Tua also didn't play great. He didn't play good even. But we are not saying. But we are saying it's mostly Tua's fault.
You know, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
you're not wrong about that.
Social media QB.
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about the last game. Did you see any of it, or were you out by then?
I was out by then, but when I looked at the score, I was just in shock. What happened? What happened to the Dolphins offense I know and love?
They got shut down. This was kind of my concern, and I guess it's not really to this extent because I don't think the pressure numbers were there from what I saw, but I haven't seen like the in-depth statistics of it, just like by watching it, it didn't seem like this happened. But my main concern prior to the game, I'm not sure. I was expecting the Dolphins to beat the breaks out of the Eagles.
Right.
But
Yeah, so she had.
One concern that I did have was if the Eagles could just do, and I think I mentioned this, the pass rushing. If they could just do what Carolina did to start the game versus Miami, but if they could just do it all game, would it just throw the Tua and the whole offense out of sync? And it sort of did, but I don't think it was pressured as much as I expected it, as I expected them to be. But they completely shut down the run game. That's a big part of it. I mean, Raheem Mostert at a time was like, I think he had like 3 carries for -8 or -10 yards. It was something stupid like that. Hassan Reddick was having a field day stopping the run. I saw 2 big plays which went for negative yardage, and he wasn't really being able to do much. Other than that, I mean, Waddle was out for a bit. Hill still did his thing. I mean, it's kind of hard to stop Tyreek Hill, but they did manage to contain him somewhat. 88 yards, 11 catches, a touchdown. He looked electric as ever. It's just, it's Hill. There was a play there by, I think it was against Cedric Wilson. That was a, I don't know what the refs were doing, but it was one of the cornerbacks from the Eagles. They have Slay, Darius Slay, and who's the other guy? Oh, Bradbury.
Bradbury, yeah.
Yeah, Bradbury. Bradbury just did, like, completely grabbed Cedric Wilson's face mask. Like, it's not even, like, subtle. It just completely yammed at it on the sideline on a third and long or third and, like, it was a third down situation in the Eagles side of the field. And Tua throws a ball to Cedric Wilson. I think it was kind of overthrown. But, like, Bradbury just completely yams at Wilson's face mask, and there's no penalty there. That would have been, like, a first and 10 or first and goal, because it would have been inside the Eagles' 20. I'm not quite sure if it would be inside of the 10, but it was something around that. But, yeah, I mean, that's a complete missed call by the refs. I don't know what happened there. AJ Brown at the field day, I mean, just like pretty imposing. There were 2 plays in there, just like his strength just completely took over and he just yammed at the DBs. Other than that, I mean, Dallas Goedert continued the National Titans day. Not as great of a game as like a guy like Kelce, but I mean, all of the tight, I think the tight ends combined, like last Saturday, last Sunday, so yesterday. They combined for, I believe it was 1,000 yards. Yeah, so National Titans, they really did this thing. But yeah, Waddle, I think I mentioned it, but he was out a while with a back injury. He managed to come back and he finished with an okay game. Other than that, I mean, it was just, the game was closer than the box score indicates. Because and at the same time it wasn't, because the Dolphins had a defensive touchdown with a pick by Jalen Hurts that hasn't been talked enough, because the turnovers are really getting to Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts on the year, he has, let me check that, because I think he has almost double the amount of turnovers that he had the whole last season. So yeah, this season he has 10 turnovers on 7 games. Last season he had 8 on 15. So the turnovers are really, really impacting them here. He had a fumble, if not mistaken, fumble lost, and he threw a pick 6 as well to Jerome Baker. But then, like, when it was pretty late, Miami was driving there. And, like, Tua threw a pick that essentially just threw away any chance they had of winning that game, or at least tying it or something. But, yeah, it's a weird game in which it's, like, I guess the outcome, then it's fair, because it's not as close it's not as big of a difference as it ended up being. But it was also, like, Miami's offense scored, like, 10 points. So... Kind of a weird game, to be honest. I just went on another rant, I guess. Yeah, Angelo just knows that I go on these massive rants, and he probably just went to do a coffee or something. I would guess. He just knows that I'll take my sweet time with these recaps. But yeah, it was a pretty weird game, as I mentioned. Julia was back, so that's a fun one. Just the catch for 3 yards, but that was a headline there for a bit. I don't know, like, I'm still not completely sold on the Eagles' offense, to be honest. I still think something isn't clicking there, but when you have the brotherly shove, as they call it now, it's really easy to move on the ball. Like, that play is really annoying from, like, not as I guess I would say, as a neutral fan, that play is kind of annoying. It's not really something against the Eagles. It's just that it's like it takes sort of some of the emotion out of the game, because when it's third and short, fourth and short, you just know that they will get it with the brotherly shove. And it was funny that, like, Sirianni, there was a point there in which Sirianni called a punt on fourth and short. And, like, he immediately called a timeout because apparently Jason Kelce reported this afterwards, but he was on the sideline, Sirianni, and he was like, nah, screw this, I'll go for it. So that's pretty funny that they are like, they also know that that play is automatic, so they just always go for it. Oh, I should say that this week, now that Angelo still isn't here, so he can't take these victory laps, but I went 5-7 on the picks. Angelo went 7-5. We're still pending the Monday Night Football because we are recording this on October 23rd, around 5 hours prior to Monday Night
Hi.
Football.
Hi,
Monday
what's
Night
up?
Football's kickoff. Yeah, I was just. I realized you were out. Now I was talking with the audience about, like, how I will go on this massive rant. So you probably just went and did a coffee or something, because you just know I'll talk my elbows out of it. So I took the chance. I also mentioned what our record was, since I had finished the recap of the game. I went ahead and did the recap on the picks since you weren't here, so we don't need to talk about that anymore. And yeah, that's all.
Oh, we talked about the picks. You talked about the picks.
I talked about the picks, what we did this past week.
Gotcha. Nice.
See?
Yeah.
There you go. And yeah, that's what happened with the Eagles. Did you like the recap? Did you hear all of
No, I didn't hear all of it, but
it?
sure it was a good recap.
Overall, the Eagles, the game wasn't as close as it, like, the game wasn't this distant. It didn't seem like a 14-point game, but at the same time, you could also argue that,
Oh,
like, Miami's offense scored like 10 points, so.
was it similar to the Chargers game where it looked good for a half and then the second half it imploded?
Yeah, it did. It did. There were some key plays. Did you hear my concern with Hurts?
No, what is your concern with Hurts?
Okay, is that, like, this season he has 10 turnovers on 7 games. Last season he had 8 on 15 games.
So he's turning the ball over more.
Yeah. That this game it was a fumble and a pick six. So yeah, he's currently on pace for what? I think it's almost double his career high. His career high is 11 on 15 games.
So what would you account this to? Is it teams are figuring him out? Is it he had a ridiculous last season and he's, you know, regressing to the norm? But he's, I mean, even if he's regressing to the norm, that's still a really good quarterback. So
yeah, I think it's just he was never a guy that was a clinical passer of the football. He just had a great season last year. That's my point.
Also, there is something I want to talk about with this game. So, do we not give A.J. Brown enough credit? Because should A.J. Brown be in the conversation with Justin Jefferson, a Ja'Marr Chase, a Davante Adams, a Tyreek Hill? Should he be in that conversation? Because honestly, I don't think I've heard anyone talk about him in that conversation. But does he belong in there? Because I think so far, the way he's performed this season, he definitely deserves to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I think he should. Like, he's great. And like, I was talking about like some of the plays he had there. Mm-hmm. Like, his physicality just went completely off in that game. Like the touchdown, he just completely manhandled two DBs to just get the rest of the yardage and score the touchdown, because the touchdown was short of the end zone. I believe it was like in the 10, and like his physicality just did the rest, and he just bullied the DBs into the red zone. So yeah, I mean, he's been great the whole season. And
does George Pickens remind you of AJ Brown a little bit? The way he
who?
George Pickens has played? The way that George Pickens has played the first 6 weeks?
Kinda. I don't think that he's as physical as AJ. I think like AJ is a true like specimen. George has been playing well.
Okay.
Pickens has been playing well. I just don't think it's like the same type of play. It's like, okay, I guess you can say it's like lit. AJ Brown lit. But like,
light.
Yeah, exactly.
L-I-T.
Yeah, L-I-T. L-I-T-E.
E,
I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. Light. Other than that, I don't know, like this. As I said, this game was kind of weird. It was competitive for the first half. The running game completely shut down. Did you hear me on the Mostert part? Like,
yeah,
when it was
Mostert. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Minus 8 yards on like 3 carries.
Yeah.
Or 4 carries to start. Yeah, something really nuts. They completely shut down the run game and they just had their way.
The Miami line got decimated all day. All night.
Yeah. But the pressures, I would have to check the numbers because I haven't yet. Because the pressures really didn't seem like they were there. And he was only sacked 3 times, if not mistaken. So I would have to check that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, not a good showing. I think they also lost a lineman in that game. I'm not sure if he came back. I didn't hear back on that. But I know they missed a lineman for part of the game. And they were also without Armstead already.
Okay, Miami. That's fair.
Yeah.
Armstead's their best offensive lineman.
Oh,
so
yeah. By a mile. By a mile, yeah. But yeah, like the Eagles' offense still isn't clicking for me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I'm kind of like, I need to put a Meyer.
They're consistently the better team every week. And that's kind of the thing. Like, even if you don't believe that Jalen Hurts is in the Patrick Mahomes tier, that team is so good that as long as he's not, like, I don't know, in the Kirk Cousins tier, it's fine.
Yeah. The tush-push is just kind of an other brotherly shove. I was saying this. Like, it doesn't annoy me because it's the Eagles, and it's not really annoyance, but it's like, it's taking away. Yeah, and it's taking away from the game for me because it's like, part of why I like the NFL, it's the suspense of every single play, basically, that anything can happen. And like when you have a play as effective as the brotherly shove, like it's 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, and you just know they're going to convert it. So it just takes away from the game in that sense to me.
So you don't think it's kind of a meta, like, I want to see, you know, it's taking away fantasy production from other people. You think it's more of a, it's taken away from suspense of a 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 away from the game to you?
Yeah, I think it's more that. And I also don't think it's like, it's unfair or something, unless you really can prove that it's it's not good for the health of the players. Game wise, I don't think it's unfair because if it was, like, the other teams would be able to get it. So just like, and they can't. I've seen it plenty of times again this week. So it's something that they do well. They shouldn't really take things away from them because they do them well. It's just takes away from the game.
Well, there's one card, but here's another counter argument to it. If a play exists that a team can convert it 90-some% of the time, should that play exist? And that's kind of the thing that I think the NFL kind of sees that. Like, I don't think they should have a play that works that often. And I think they're going to try to ban it under the veneer of, oh, you know, these players got hurt.
Are we also banning the extra point? Because the success rate of an extra point is 93%.
Listen. The extra point was so effective, they pushed back the yardage that you have to kick it from to see if they could get people to miss. So, yeah. Yes, the point has been effective already.
Yeah, it went from 99.3% to, I think it was 92.4. So, yeah, it decreased somewhat, but it's still a 90% effective play.
But the NFL wants people to go for two more. They don't want auto plays like that. That's the point I'm giving.
I understand the point, and it's why it takes away from the game for me, because it's like a 90% success rate play, and I just know it's gonna happen every single time. But I think the NFL should only intervene if it was a broad 90% success rate. So if you tell me like every single team runs that play and they have a 90% success rate on every single time, okay, then I understand. But it's something only the Eagles do. So it's kind of seems like we're targeting that team because the extra point is something
we 100%
that,
are.
But it should be the case. Like, it's just a weird. Are we also banning like Mahomes to Travis Kelce every single play? Because that's probably a 90% success rate.
Actually, funny enough, during the game, the commentators had said that Mahomes was 100% when targeting Travis Kelce on his last like 20 to 40 targets, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like that, are we just banning every single play? Are we also banning Stafford to Kupp? Like, it's kind of weird that we're just banning it because the team does it really well and they manage to perfect it. It doesn't sit well with me.
It doesn't sit well with you?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's an interesting discussion to have.
Yeah. Like, as a fan, I just don't like, and it's probably why the NFL is thinking about that, because like me, there's probably plenty of others. I just know they will convert it, and I was mentioning there was a point in that game in which Sirianni sent out the punt team on 4th and 1 or 4th and inches, and like immediately called a timeout and threw out the offense out there, and they just got it with a brotherly shove.
Are you joking?
No. And then Kelce mentioned like after the game that what happened, like he was in the sidelines with Sirianni, and Sirianni just said, expletive, I don't care, we'll go for it.
But here's the thing, and here's your argument against coaches as well. If you know this play has like a 90% success rate and you're on fourth down, who cares about the 10% you're not going to get it?
Yeah,
like for real, at that point, who cares? If you can convert this 90% of the time, put it out there on 4th and 1, 4th and 2. I don't care. You're right.
Yeah.
Sirianni had the right mindset. Like, you need to put that thing out there. Make them stop it.
And it's funny, like, the whole conversation happening, because I've heard this argument on a show in the past week, and it was about the use of analytics. Like, are teams hurting themselves more using analytics than actually doing well? And this comes at basically like not an anti-analytics thing, but it's an anti-coach thing. Because you will have these coaches, like for example, Staley, who only runs the right analytics play when it suits him. So for example, like if the machine tells you, the analytics guys tells you that you need to go for it on this fourth down, and you don't go for it every single time that they tell you to, then you're just better suited at not doing it at all. Would you agree with that? And like the comparison that you have there, it's like playing blackjack with the little rules card thing
Say
that it's
that
basically
again.
like
Say that again. So
so
you have the number generator, and the number generator says you have an X percent chance, and you're saying if you don't follow that number generator every time, why are you using the number generator? Is that what you're asking?
basically, because it's essentially like, for example, if we compare it to like blackjack, I'm not sure if you ever played it, probably you have.
Yes.
But it's like you always have to hit. If you have, for
Tony Hawk.
example, yeah. And if you, for example, I don't know, it's been a while since I've played, but for example, you always, what I was taught, it's basically that you always have to assume that the card that it's hidden and in the dealer, it's
Is
a
10.
10. Yeah. Okay, so it's basically like you're playing blackjack, but you only hit when you want to. And then you blame the analytics because, for example, if you have, I don't know, if you have a 15 and the guy has a 10, you don't hit sometimes and you hit other times. Like, you're not following it to the rule, so the success rate won't be there as often. Like, the success rate implies that you do it every single time. But when you
Right.
don't, then you're just hurting your chances on picking and choosing when you go for it.
I have mixed feelings about that because I get the point and I generally agree with that, but at the same time, like, you also have to have I'm going to call it game sense. You have to say, okay, this is the situation, even if the analytics say I should do this. My sense in the way the game is going says I should do this, and I'm going to do that. And I think you should give coaches the freedom to do that. And I think as a head coach, you should have the freedom to do that. But you also have to own that's what you did.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need to use analytics 100% of the time, but I don't think that you should say, we're an analytics team, and then
The
not
analytics
use
dictate what we do, but
and
then
then
you
not
go
use the
against
analytics.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, using analytics as an excuse and then not following it to the T, that's the issue, yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, I would agree with the whole sentiment of I understand game feel and like, but the thing with game feel, it's that it's isn't it like a bit of an ego as well in there?
Partial.
Because it's like I know more than, I don't know, 10 or 100,000 like simulations that tell me to go for this. Isn't that like you're kind of being too much?
Yes and no. So, like I said, the simulation isn't going to tell you, I didn't score on the last two drives and it's a one possession game and I really need to score this drive. A
But it
simulation
kind
isn't
of,
going to tell you
you
that.
can input that in there though. Can you? Can't you? Because what I have been told is that they basically they have a more, how do I say this? They basically they have a more up to date or a more like in-depth analytics thingy in game versus
Analytics
in game versus what we have outside. Because when they are in game, like their machines, they get different intel, which is like it's not a big difference from what we get usually in like regular simulations that we do and like analytics that come from those, but it's a bit more right, if that makes sense. It's a bit more up to date.
That's fair.
It rubs me the wrong way. I would side on the you just you either use it or you don't. But if I do agree
You have to use it.
with your sentiment of if we're saying we're using it and we go against it, we own up to it, which is something that Staley doesn't do, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can also like, but that's the thing. If you get into the analytics game and you want to be pure analytics, then you have to understand that that's the game you signed up for. So if the analytics say you should go for like going for it on fourth and two is a 60% success rate. You, then you can, and you do it, then you can say, okay, I was part of the 40%.
Okay.
Like,
Yeah, that I
and that
agree
comes
with.
with the territory.
Yeah.
That comes with the territory at that
Be
point.
because those 60% imply that you use it all the time. So if you only
Sure.
use it half of the time, then it's not 60% chance to get it. That's
Yeah.
basically what you have to play. I do think that a coach that surprisingly uses it more than I expected them to use it's Cam Dan
Bill Belichick.
Campbell. And Dan Campbell.
Oh, okay. Wait, what?
Yeah. It does seem like it in game. I haven't looked this up, but like in game, it does seem like he used it more than I expected him to.
Dan Campbell doesn't look like he knows what an
Yeah.
analytics
That's it. That's exactly it. That's
spreadsheet.
always also my sense. But when I watch those games, it does really feel like he uses it more than we are giving him credit for.
Once again, this is why you just have to love Dan Campbell. Like, how do you not like the guy?
Yeah,
Because
exactly. Oh, you see? Oh,
I
okay.
hope
This
he's the
is.
Detroit coach forever, basically. Go on, sorry.
I did see like this. I'm just seeing it now. This one article, but it's prior to the season. But the headline is that analytics say Lions coach Dan Campbell's in-game decisions are the best in the NFL.
Okay, so not that he uses it, but that
No, but
he
the.
goes by it according to the numbers.
Yeah, so maybe he uses it, and that's why the analytics say that he has the best decisions.
Or maybe he just has the best
He
game
just
sense.
has, yeah, basically. It's
So,
one of the two.
but even then, that's an advantage. If you're
Yeah.
the Detroit Lions, that's there's an, yet another reason that you want to keep him on board.
Yeah, I've
Like,
seen plenty of like articles who are saying the same thing, yeah. There's
yeah.
another line here. Most analytics back Campbell's and his questionable choices, however. For example, this is an article from January mentioning this as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing plenty of things that back that up. Now, is he using it, or is just does he have great game sense, or and he's a great coach? I would think it's maybe
It can be a
50-50.
combination too. That's the thing. It doesn't need to be 100%. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at. Like, yes, you can use the analytics, and yes, you can go by the analytics a good chunk of the time, but you still have to have the sense and the ability to say, this is the situation. Even if the analytics say this, I'm going to do this because that's how I feel that the game's going right now. Like, and that's.
Imagine if we're saying all this, but it really is the coach that uses the analytics the most and he just
All the
follows it
time.
100%.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a fun talk there. I guess we can just skip to the power rankings now. Is there anything else you want to talk about from last week's
No.
games?
I'm good. I can't wait to watch the Bengals play again. That's what I.
All right. I guess I can go first. I think you went first last week or something. But yeah,
Yep.
this week, some changes here. Honorable mention to the Seahawks. It was between the Seahawks or the Bengals at 10th, and I don't think the Seahawks victory was impressive enough for me to put them over the team that beat them in week 6. So I'm putting Cincinnati at 10. I'm putting Jacksonville, who finally joins my top 10, at 9. I'm putting Cleveland at 8. Buffalo is 7. Detroit is 6. Baltimore is 5 for me. Miami is 4. Philadelphia is 3. San Francisco is 2. And the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the NFL.
I don't disagree with the Kansas City Chiefs being the best team in the NFL.
Right. That's all
But
you don't disagree with.
I will say, it's looking at your list, it seems like you're just my list, just a week behind.
Maybe. As I said, I missed like four teams on your list this past week. But yeah, I mean, probably not Baltimore, though. Baltimore is a new ad here. I don't think you had Baltimore in there.
So, are you ready for my list?
Go for it.
Number 10 is the Ravens.
Oh, wait too long with the Ravens.
Number 9 is the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Number 8 is the Bengals.
All right.
Number 7 is the Jags.
The Jags.
Number 6 is the Browns. Number 5 is the Lions. Number 4 is the Dolphins.
Okay.
Number 3 is the Eagles.
Okay, so the same top 4.
Number 2 is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, what? I thought they were the best team in the league for you.
I said I don't disagree with you putting them there. That doesn't mean I have them.
Okay.
And number 1, the team that sacrifices other teams, the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, then. I mean, we have the same teams inside of the top 4, just a different order than 1 and 2.
Yep.
And then you don't have Buffalo.
No, I don't. They don't deserve it.
I don't know, man. It's three weird games. Like, it's the
three?
London game.
How many weird games? This goes back to the Chargers argument. How many weird games are we going to give the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I was going to say that. No, it just feels like I'm throwing the excuse book at them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the London game. Then it's the Giants, like, coming back from London on a Monday night football spot. On the primetime spot versus a backup QB. Tough scenario. And then it's divisional game versus angry Patriots. I'm writing the narrative here. I think they will bounce back eventually.
Eventually, yeah. Just
so I mean, but I have taken them down massively. They are now
Where did
seven.
You have them? They're 7? Do you know where the
seven.
Buffalo Bills were on my list last week?
They were 7, probably.
They were 7.
Okay. They were 5 on my list last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Detroit and Buffalo both went down quite a bit. Cleveland is still hanging in there. Jacksonville, I mean, we kind of feel the same about Jacksonville. Like, are they in your Super Bowl? Like, can win a Super Bowl list?
Probably not.
Okay, that's still top 6 for you?
No, the Jags probably not. The Browns also probably not. They don't have a quarterback. I think at this point, if you're in the top 5, top 4 maybe, 49ers, Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins, I think is my list.
I would say top 5 for me are teams that can win a Super Bowl. The rest I'm starting to lose hope on.
I'm starting to lose hope on?
Yeah. Like, Buffalo and Detroit really disappointed this week.
I think the Bengals outside of the top 10, or outside of the top, outside of the top 4 is the only team I could see because they have Burrow. It's just they had a rough start to the season. I think the Bills also could eventually get in that conversation, but they're not playing like it. They are not playing like it.
They are not, indeed. Okay. And last segment of the show, I think. The lines. Do we have the lines for every single game? Because I don't think there's a team on bye this week.
I'm pretty sure there's definitely a team on bye this week.
Well, are we sure?
Because when I was doing the prediction for the whole year, there was teams this week.
Let me count them up. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's not as many as this week, but.
Nope. There's 16 games on the slate. There's no
really?
Bye weeks.
There's no bye week?
No, I think there's a bunch of, there were a bunch of buys this past week, and there's going to be a bunch of buys the week after. But no buys this week. Like, the NFL schedule just goes nuts, I guess.
They could have given a few teams buys this week.
Yeah. They could have split, like, the bad through the villages.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Well,
do you want to start or do I go?
I can start if you want.
Go for it then.
Which means I start off with the Thursday night game, and I'm getting notifications. NFL. Speaking of which, the 49ers are going to sacrifice the Vikings today. Put that out there.
That line has barely moved. I think we picked it at 6.5. You have the Niners minus 6.5. I have the Vikings plus 6.5. So we are head to head here.
Perfect.
But yeah, barely
start.
Moved.
Thursday night football. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills favored by 7 points. Give me the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers. After like the absolute disgrace showing that they had this past week versus the Falcons. Oh, I should say the NFC South leading team, the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, I'm going with the Bills. I'm still, this is a bounce back spot for them, I think. Primetime game.
Well, Buccaneers plus 7. That's all I'm saying.
I think I'm going to go. Yeah, I'll pick the Bills. Bills minus 7. Okay, next up for me, it's the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are 6.5 point underdogs. That would be weird. And the over-under is 43.5. And I'm going with the Commanders, plus 6.5. Commanders always play the Eagle stuff. And it's in Washington right now. So I'm going to pick them.
This is just a go against Alex pick. Give me the Eagles.
Next up.
Next up for me is the Houston Texans at the Carolina Panthers. The Houston Texans are favored by 2.5 points. I actually don't know.
Two teams out of a bye as well.
Give me the Carolina Panthers.
Hmm. I was actually thinking Carolina as well.
I'll gladly flip. You want Carolina? I'll take Houston.
No, I'll take the Houston Texans here. I'll take Houston minus 2.5. I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah, 2.5. I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina shows up, though.
I wouldn't be shocked either. You're next.
Oh, this one. It's the battle of the fake New York. The New York Jets at the New York Giants. The Jets are 2.5 point favorites, and the over-under is probably the lowest on the week. Yeah, 36.5. It's the lowest on the week, or tied for lowest. And I will take the Jets minus 2.5. The Zach attack is back. I've missed it dearly. Give me the Jets defense, and give me the potent Zach attack.
Okay, give me the Giants.
You're just bound to pick against me every chance you
can. I'm telling you, it works more than it doesn't.
Okay, next up.
Next up for me. Oh, God. The New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 10 points. I honestly don't know. I am so conflicted. Like, and I don't have you to You don't. You can make the pick first. I don't. I'll just go with everyone. I don't
No,
need
no,
to.
no, 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 no. I need you to go.
Oh man, this is tough. This is really tough. 10 points is a lot. The Miami offense is also a lot. Oh man. Man, 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 man.
Where are you going with, Angelo?
Shoot
your shot.
Ah, give me the Dolphins.
Okay. I'm actually on the Patriots, plus 10. Don't let this team get hot. Just don't.
Stop it.
Okay, next up for me, it's the Los Angeles Rams at the Dallas Cowboys. The Rams are 6.5-point underdogs. Over-under is 45 points. And I'm taking the Rams plus 6.5.
Oh, you're going to make me pick the Cow. Okay, give me the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just a coaching mismatch.
I think this is a ridiculous line. I think the Rams should be closer because the Rams have actually showed they can move the ball down the field consistently. But, you know, still give me the Cowboys.
I guess it's just because they lost to the Steelers.
Yeah. George Pickens.
Yeah. And Deontay. Deontay also played well.
Yeah, he did.
Like, Matt Canada didn't just completely call the blank game plan. It wasn't good, but it's like, it's a step towards being a better offensive coach, I guess. Like, I don't know how many years he has coaching in offense, but after plenty of years, he's finally taking a step up. You love to see.
Oh, no.
Okay, next up. Oh, I think it's the team that we're just talking about. So at least it is for
it
me.
Was. Oh, you're going to make me pick this too. Pittsburgh Steelers, Jacksonville Jaguars. Pittsburgh's at home, and the Jaguars are favored by 2. Give me the Jags. They'll be fine.
I'm going to go against you. I'm going to take Pittsburgh plus 2.
I would too.
Okay. Next up, the Saints at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 1.5-point favorites. The over-under is 43.5. And I am going to take the Saints plus 1.5. Because I think the Saints win this game outright.
I hate you.
I know. Are you going against your Saints?
Yeah, give me the Colts.
Oh, oof. That one has to sting.
Yeah. Alex is wrong more than he's right. We're just going to keep on keeping on. You know? You can't blame the analytics if you don't use it 100% of the time, Alex.
That is true. Oh, this one is a good one. This is going to be a barn burner. Watch out.
NFL. Did that. Oh, no. The stupid Atlanta Falcons at the stupid Tennessee Titans. This might be the lowest game of the week. It is tied for the lowest game of the week.
It is tied with the battle of the fake New York.
Give me the stupid Falcons.
Yeah, I am picking the Falcons as well. It's the NFC Titans versus the original Titans.
Oh, God.
I just want to...
It's
going like,
to be a bad game, dude.
Like, 1 point to a Falcons team that at least looks decent, add a Tennessee Titans team that it's gonna be either quarterbacked by Malik Willis or the Mayo King. I mean,
Will Levis needs to get in that game.
Yeah, is there Mayo there in that game that he can just
There's
put
Mayo
on his coffee?
Everywhere.
Okay, next up for me, it's the last morning game. It's the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 1 point favorites after like the absolute abysmal performance that they put up versus the Broncos.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that for a reason.
We didn't talk about that one for a reason. Because we were not right this week. We'll be in weeks after. But yeah, give me the Packers minus one still. This is the last game in which I will trust Jordan Love, I guess. I need to see something.
I'm just looking into the abyss right now. Oh, no.
It's between pick with me or pick the Vikings. Yuck.
Give me the Vikings.
Okay. Next up.
The Cleveland Browns at the Seattle Seahawks, and the Seattle Seahawks are favored by 2.5. Give me the Browns. Give me the
That's a
Browns.
weird ass line.
I can't believe I just saw that. I can't believe I just saw that.
Yeah. I've seen that line since yesterday. I don't really think it's moved any bit so far. But yeah, like it's a really weird line, but give me Seattle. It's gonna be that one game in which it's like Seattle's offense really struggled versus pressure this past week. Geno looked off when he faced pressure. Now they go versus like one of the best defenses, if
Miles
not,
Garrett.
yeah, the best defense in the NFL, and they will dominate. And
Stop
that's
it. Stop it.
you can just sense that it's going to be that type of game, to be honest.
It's not happening.
Oh, we have a repeat game. We just had this game on Thursday Night Football, like 2 weeks ago or something. But the
Oh,
Chiefs
no.
at the Denver Broncos. The Chiefs are 8 point favorites, and the over-under is
Don't do it.
46 and a half.
Don't do it
Yeah,
to
I
me.
mean, I'm gonna take the Chiefs. I don't know
I
what
hate
you're
you.
gonna do. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Oh. Give me the Broncos.
To be frank, that's probably not the worst spot in the world to be at.
What? Give me the Broncos?
Yeah, like +8. Like they look decent this past week,
They
but maybe
do
it's
look
just
decent.
Jordan Love, I guess. And it's gonna be one of those, like the Chiefs are gonna have one of those letdown games. But maybe it already happened in Thursday Night Football because the offense was nowhere to be seen, and they
Oh, against
still
the Lions.
covered the 10.5. No, the game versus the Broncos in Kansas.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yes.
The offense was non-existent, but they still covered it by 10.5, so maybe it's just another blowout. Okay,
Very
next one.
fair. Oh.
What do you
The
have there?
Baltimore Ravens again at the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals favored by 8. Or not favored by 8. The Baltimore Ravens favored by
That
8.
was a weird one.
Oh, man. Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, give me the Cardinals as well. I do
Oh,
want to say the Cardinals, and I had it here written down before you made your pick, but it's like
Ravens look so good.
The Cardinals are that team that like looked solid to start the season, and I think we haven't adjusted to how bad they have looked since, because I think this is
Yeah.
the third game in a row in which they haven't covered the big spread. Because I think Seattle was 7.5 point favorites. They didn't cover. They didn't cover versus Cincinnati as well, I believe. And there was another game in there that they didn't cover, like a big line game. Baltimore. Okay, I'm going with Baltimore to be honest.
There you go.
Baltimore minus 8. My one concern is that it, like, the Baltimore team that wants to throw games just comes back this week.
Yeah.
Next up, to
Then
close the afternoon games. Oh boy. You did wish the Bengals to be back playing football, and it's the Cincinnati
oh
Bengals at
no.
the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners
Oh
are
no.
minus 5.5 point favorites, and the over-under is 45 and a half. And I'm taking the Niners.
That's fine. You pushed me into the corner. It's okay. I got the Bengals. It's all good. It's all good. The Ohio teams apparently are immune to getting sacrificed. That's what's going to happen.
That's the narrative you're going with.
Yeah, that's the yeah. The
All
Ohio teams
right.
cannot be sacrificed as they've already been sacrificed. But
Okay.
the rest of the NFL, you're getting sacrificed. Oh man.
Okay.
Sunday night football. Da-da-da-da. Chicago Bears at LA Chargers. Chicago Bears or LA Chargers favored by 8.5 points. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't feel good about the Chargers if this was like a 3-point game. I'm definitely not feeling good if it's an 8-point game. Give me the Bears.
Yeah.
The Chargers can't cut just the Chargers cannot cover close spreads. What makes you think they're going to cover the large spread?
Yeah. You know how I said that I would never take Chicago?
You'd never take the Bears. You said that. You did say that.
But I should start by saying I will never take the Justin Field-led Chicago Bears. Give me
Oh, this
Chicago
guy.
plus 8.5. This is going to be a prime, like, Sunday night football spot where people lose a ton of money betting in the early slates, and they just want to get it all back. So they look at this line, and it's like, oh, it's the Chargers versus the crappy Bears, and it's only 8.5. I'm going to take the Chargers off of an embarrassing loss. And then you just slam Chicago Bears alternative line, like, minus 14. For, like, I don't know, 40-1, and just cash it, because you can just see this is going to be a major letdown spot by the Chargers. So give me Chicago plus 8.5, and this is my upset of the week. Tyson Bagent
You're up in the week.
comes out guns blazing and shows the world that he, of course, I'm prefacing, like, I'm assuming Bagent plays right now. I believe Fields is doubtful for the game, so I assume he's going to be out at least 2 more weeks. So give me the Chicago Bears, the Tyson Bagent Chicago Bears upsetting the Los Angeles Chargers.
You're on the last game.
And finally, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 8-point favorites. The over-under is 44.5. And give me the Lions. The Lions just gonna destroy the Raiders. Like, bounce back spot. Prime bounce back spot.
Give me the Raiders plus 8.
Okay, I'm feeling good about the picks.
I am
Like,
too.
there's one
I
or
got
two which I'm starting to instantly feel sort of
instant
a,
regrets.
yeah, instant regrets. Like the Green Bay one, for example, or the San Francisco one. Those are the ones that I know I are just gonna bite me in the ass. But other than that, I'm confident.
I got this. Just go against Alex and you get more, you'll win more than you lose every week.
Okay, you're 7-5. I don't know if you heard this, but you're 7-5. I told you this prior. You're seven
Yep.
and five. Monday Night Football pending. It's the San Francisco 49ers minus 6.5 for you. So you can either go 7-6 or 8-5. And I am 5-7. So the opposite scenario to you. With Minnesota plus 6.5. So there is a small chance that we are only one game apart here. And that's it. We have gone through all of the topics.
Minnesota's about to get sacrificed is what I see.
I call them the upset of the week. Do I feel happy with that? Not really. But
so wait a minute. You're telling me San Francisco, after losing that game against the Cleveland Browns, going up against a Justin Jefferson-less Minnesota Vikings, you feel good?
I feel as good as someone can be picking that, instantly regretting it. But I'm here, and I have to feel good now. I think they'll get destroyed.
Yeah, they're getting sacked.
Yeah. All right. That should be the show.
All right. Well, if you've gotten this far, thank you so much. We have all kinds of social medias. We're on YouTube. Give us likes. Give us subscriptions. You know, it's free. And if you don't want to be free, there's a fancy donate button.
I like those. And yeah, don't forget, if you're listening on the podcast app, on the Spotify app, just leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a written review there as well. Follow the show. Also, if you're listening on YouTube, leave us a like, subscribe to the channel, notifications on if you will, and also leave us a comment there if you can. We always appreciate those.
Alex, and why don't you write an essay?
What will I go ahead and what?
Alex wants you to write an essay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Just like 10-word essay. Just 10-word essay. Like 5-star review, 5-star review, 5-star review. I don't know if that's 10 words, but that's going to be around that. Just write as that. We just want the engagement.
Guy, thanks for watching, guys. See ya.
See ya.